Savages, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. First off, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple, Google, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Trust me, people, you're going to love it. Thank you. Savage Empire. I'm your host, Mike Trainer, and I come to you as an embarrassed fan today, like many of you. We watched this four-game series that we had high hopes in, and Tampa managed to come to our house, kick the shit out of us, drink all our beer, rub their dirty feet in our couch, said, "Fuck your couch!" And then managed to leave a few dead bodies behind. The only person who said anything to them was Luke Voigt. And that was not enough. It's just, we were riding a nice little high there after smacking Boston around. Boy, is that a true night and day scenario here. The difference between those two. Fucking Tampa came in second place, hungry. They took three out of four in Tampa. And they were coming to kick our ass. And we were like, bring it. And they brought it. And left in first place. It's a little bit embarrassing. I have to tell you, it's a little punch in the gut. Not happy. Not happy. Rays Twitter taking a little bit of a shot at us with a little gif of a street sweeper. Start sweeping the news. I want you all to remember that one. Put that one in your memory banks. Save it. Bring it up at the right time, because these motherfuckers wanted a rivalry. Well, now they got one. All right, we can't look at this team anymore as an inconvenience, as somebody that is never going to challenge us, as somebody who is just a speed bump on the way to where we want to be, and that's on top. Nope. Make no mistake. The division goes through them, or it goes through us. And it's one of them. Well, it's one of us that's going to get it. It's not going to be the Blue Jays. Certainly not going to be the Orioles. And I'm not even going to mention Boston, because I'm pretty sure they've been eliminated already. Quite possibly the number one seed in the American League will come down between these two teams. They have the pitching, obviously. Their starters and their bullpen. And apparently this team is hungry, and they can hit, and they can hit home runs, and they can also hit with runners in scoring position, which is something that we don't seem like we know how to do consistently. Anyway, all we do is hit home runs. Now, I know that's how this team was built, but god damn, You can't put your A swing on everything all the time. It can't just be home run or bust. It has to be getting guys over, getting them in. Sack flies are sure not sexy, but sack flies win the game. A two RBI single is just as good as a three-run home run sometimes. I know that sounds ridiculous, but I'd much rather take a single with a guy on base than watching the guy strike out or just fly out because he just missed a home run. Yeah, we'll always take the home run. Shit, if a guy can go up there and hit a fucking home run every time, great. I'm all for it. But do you really want to impress us? Get the big fucking hit. Get a double. Get a single. With runners in scoring position. Not everybody can hit home runs. And certainly good pitching isn't going to allow you to hit home runs. Sometimes you got to take what they give you and put it in the opposite field and get a hit. This is what this team consistently fails to do. And apparently, on Twitter, because I base most everything that I see on Twitter, because that's where I'm on. I got friends of mine on there that are talking about, well, yep, now I got to hear it from the Ray fans. And I'm like, what, like 30 of them? How many fucking, is there a Ray's Twitter? Is that even a thing? And I guess what? I guess there is. And you know what? They have the right to talk shit. We've given them every fucking right. We've allowed them to talk shit for the last couple years. We've tried to ignore them. We've tried to not even give them the time of the day, but these motherfuckers have beaten down our door and have taken first place from us and made us look fucking silly while doing it. So they wanted a rivalry? Well, now they get one. Congratulations. You are our 2020 rivals. Are you happy? Because you know what comes with that? When you lose, and you will lose at some point to us, when this team is fully healthy and ready to go, and the smack talk will be coming, these guys aren't just going to sit back and take it all year long like they've shown that they've done so far. This shit ain't gonna last. So you can enjoy it now. But at some point, you're gonna see us. Whether it's in the playoffs, in the championship game, or next year. It's a rivalry now. Congratulations. You've finally done enough to piss us off. Which is something that you never wanted to do. You could have just skated by, win a few games here and there, occasionally annoy us, but never really threaten us. Well, now you're a threat. And this will not stand. And I'm speaking for all of us on Twitter now, in the Yankee universe, the Yankee Twitter. If any of my listeners are not on Twitter and they don't follow me at Savage Empire Pod, get yourself an account on Twitter if you don't have one already. And just go to the Yankee Twitter and just start making friends with some of these people. Follow me, and then you'll see who I follow, and you follow them because they're all excellent follows. And you'll see the kind of trash talking that is done. If the team doesn't want to do it, the fans will certainly do it. There's a few people on here that are masters of it. Great follows. Trust me, you won't be disappointed. I'm sure most of you who listen to me right now already know who I'm talking about. The usual cast of characters. These guys go at it with every fan base. And sometimes you just have to let everybody know who the fuck we are. So as the team rebounds here from this embarrassing defeat, the players, the fans of the Rays, you won this round. Enjoy it. You get to enjoy this moment. It's going to be short-lived. We're coming for you. Gonna fuck you guys up with your rat face looking motherfucking Blake Snell, who looks like a heroin addict. To every other scumbag that's on that team that was talking shit. Oh, we enjoy the victories more when it comes against the Yankees. All right. Get drunk on that. Get drunk on that feeling. Because it's soon enough. It's all fucking fun and games right now. But eventually we're going to get to the playoffs. We're going to see you. And we're going through you. Because we're going to be fucking focused. And you guys just want to fucking have fun and play games and shit. We're going to fuck you guys up. I want you to know it now. I want you to mark my words. We're coming for you. This train does not get derailed. Quest for 28 is still on. We're going to fuck you guys up.
If you smell what the Rock is cooking.
On to the injuries. We just added Britton. Because apparently he can't make a small sprint from the pitcher's mound to first base, trying to catch a ball to make an out, without somehow hurting his fucking hamstring. I just don't get it. I don't get it. I don't know. I'm lost for words, and that's weird, being that this is a podcast, and I need the words to fully express how angry I am right now on the injuries. And I know it's not their fault. Injuries happen. It's a part of the game. These are soft tissue injuries. How the fuck is this happening? Are they not stretching? Are they just waking up in the morning like, you know what? I'm good. I'm going to go 110% today, hard. Nothing will happen. I'm in great shape. Well, no. You can ask Stanton about that one. You can ask Judge about that one. Although, hopefully, Judge is supposed to get activated on Saturday. We'll get to that in a minute. The only one who has, like, a legitimate fucking injury so far is DJ. With the sprained thumb. Although he's getting better. Swelling has come down. Looks like he'll probably be able to come off when he's eligible to. But with all those injuries, we decided that's not enough. We're the goddamn Yankees. We need to be hurt more. Of course. Right? Isn't that what you're thinking? We have too many healthy guys. 2020 is going to take care of that shit right away. Glaber manages to pull his hamstring, trying to beat out a ground ball today. Boone says it's tightness. They sent him for an MRI. So you're all thinking it. 3 to 4 weeks, no doubt, book it. I said, they might as well amputate it. I'm sure it's already scheduled. You make jokes because you're mad, folks. That's all we can do. If we didn't laugh, we'd be punching fucking holes in the wall. And I don't want to fix them holes. I'm just frustrated to all fuck. I'm getting really mad today. It's not a happy episode. If you came here for that, Turn away now. It's an angry episode. When they play like this and they get beat up like this, there's not going to be much cheerful going. There's not going to be much happiness. There isn't going to be anything but anger and fucking pain. All right? So hopefully not too many more of these things. But then, Glaber being hurt, Britton being hurt, Judge still being hurt, DJ hurt, Stanton hurt. Nope. We decided, let's get another MRI done today. Because this came in last minute. James Paxton. Forearm tightness. Is getting an MRI on it. And folks, you know what that means. That's always the fucking code. When it comes down to forearm or elbow or anything like that, you know what it's going to be. Do I have to say it? Do I feel like if I say it, is that going to be bad luck? How much more bad luck can this team get? I'll just say it. I'll come out and say it. You're thinking it. I'm thinking it. Everybody's thinking it. It's going to be Tommy John. All right? Which is horrible for him because it's a free agent year. Which means he's going to be gone basically all of next year. Whoever signs him. Now, are the Yankees going to want to try to re-sign him now? Coming off of Tommy John. They won't have him until 2022. If it ends up indeed being Tommy John, which, let's face it, you know it will. And if I'm wrong, God, I hope I'm wrong. I'll be the first one to fucking admit it. I'll be the first one to say that I was wrong, and I'm happy, and I'm relieved, and I'll eat crow, and that's fine. But we're going to assume for now that it is. And that is the worst injury of all. Because now you're looking at a rotation of Garrett Cole, Tanaka, Montgomery, Hap, who now, because remember I said this before, when the Yankees were talking about having to try to skip Hap some days and limit his innings and shit. Well, guess what? Now they almost don't have a choice anymore, which means unless something happens here, his option will be picked up for next year. I have to look into the details because I just thought about this now. His option will probably kick in and he'll be here next year, which you know the Yankees didn't want. They don't want him here. So, all right, so that's four. Who's going to be number five now? Does Michael King slot into the starting role now? Does Lasagna? I'd rather keep Lasagna in the pen. I think he's way more effective as a reliever than he is a starter. I think we all know that. I think we're all in agreement. King, I think, is a starter. I don't really like him in the bullpen, but they got him handcuffing fucking Hap or anybody else who can't seem to go the distance. Or the guy that we all want, Clark Schmidt. Honestly, that has to be their first option. But he has to come on to the 40. So in order for that to happen, Pax would have to go on the 60-day DL or IL. Basically, they can, you know, take some off the 40-man, and then they could purchase the contract of Clark Schmidt, put him on the 40, and then call him up. I think that's what's going to happen. I think that's the move to make. Sadly, it had to be cut because of an injury. So, we're all excited to see that. We all want to see Clark Schmidt. And I think we all pretty much agree that he can be pretty damn good if given the opportunity. From what we've seen, he looks pretty dominant. I like what I see out of him and King, so I'm happy. Let's get the kids up. Let's get them playing. Why not? And there's always the trade deadline, and we already talked about what the Yankees can do. And I'm sure Cashman is on the phones, calling people, seeing what he can get, who's available. Because if they want to go the trade route, well, now it's really going to cost us. Because now, it's not just a luxury to have an extra starting pitcher. Now it's a necessity. And other teams are going to be like, okay, you want this guy? Well, how about this guy, this guy, this guy, and that guy? And we'll throw in somebody else from the other end, maybe a bullpen guy. And Cashman's going to be on the end of that call, deciding whether he wants to fucking do it or if it's too expensive. Teams are not going to give people away. I see these stupid trade offers that you people are coming up with on Twitter. Stop it. Because you're not fucking thinking. And you know who you are. This, trade this guy for this guy. Let's get Lindor. Like it isn't going to cost us a fucking arm and a leg. Let's get Clevinger because they sent him down. You think the Indians are giving up on Clevinger? Let's get... Why don't we trade for DeGrom? The Mets aren't going anywhere because the Mets aren't going to trade DeGrom. And they're certainly not going to trade him to us. Too many goddamn teams are going to make the playoffs. Guess what? When you make the playoffs, you need all your pitching. So for the fucking, like, eight teams that don't make the playoffs, do you really want their best pitcher? Chances are, he isn't an ace. You're talking about the Johnny Cuertos of the world. Yeah, he's good. He's decent. Is that somebody you want? Is that somebody you want to overpay for? The fuck out of here. Come on. You know, we're not getting Sonny Gray back. We're not getting Trevor Bauer in a fucking trade. I would love it, but we're not getting it. We're not getting fucking anybody who's decent or good unless we overpay. And I'm talking about ready-to-go players now. You might be looking at a deal that people are going to ask for that includes Clint and Miggy. Some of you are willing to say yes right off the bat, but with our injuries, can you really afford to move two people that you can plug into the outfield? And I know Miggy has his struggles, but he's a warm body who can catch a fly ball most times. Because you can't put Wade out there now, because guess what? Wade's playing shortstop. Tyro's our second baseman right now. I haven't seen Mike Ford run in the outfield yet, so I don't know. I mean, he's the GOAT, but I think there's even limits to his GOATness. It just doesn't fucking end with these injuries. And you know, it's nice to say next man up. It's nice to say next man up, but eventually you run out of fucking men. And how many more injuries can this team take? And I'm going to be honest with you too. And I've noticed this. I don't know if some people have noticed this. I know he's mentioned it. Hicks doesn't look quite ready yet. He's starting to hit. Still taking his walks. He's getting better in the outfield now all of a sudden. He can, you know, see where the goddamn fly ball's going. But watch him throw the ball. He's timid. He's gun shy. And he's afraid to let it go. And I don't know if that's because he's afraid that he's going to hurt himself. or he's afraid that he is hurt and somebody's going to notice it. Notice that he hasn't really had a strong throw yet. He's mainly been lobbing the balls in. So something to keep an eye on. I think it's just he's timid and he's gun shy. As he should be. But he's not quite right. Gardner is Gardner. I know we like to shit on him, but the guy is Mr. Reliable. He just doesn't get hurt. And Frazier's been playing pretty decent. He's out there. Talkman. Infield is a little thin now, though. Gio, Wade, Tyro, and fucking Voit. Catching is thin. His Higgy's out still. How many more injuries can this team take? Pitching rotation is getting a little thinner. Bullpen is getting a little thinner. There's no consistency here in the offense. And what the fuck is going on with Chad Green, who didn't pitch in any of these games? Hashtag Chad Mo. For you inside joke guys. He hasn't pitched since Boston. Is he hurt? I haven't heard anything from Boone on this. Did he need a few days off? Is there something going on? He's arguably the best bullpen pitcher right now. I think the one we actually trust the most right now. And he didn't pitch any meaningful innings in this series. Gonna need an answer for that. If somebody finds out, tweet it so I can retweet it. If he's hurt, I want to know about it. Something isn't fucking right. And then, I don't know if this is a blessing or just like, you know what? It's more shit. Turns out one of the players on the Mets and one of their staffers tested positive for coronavirus today, postponing their game between the Marlins and postponing the game tomorrow against us because we have to go to City Field. Well, needless to say, if they're postponing the games, they're going to postpone the whole weekend. Most likely. I doubt it that they'll play. They'll have to make it up, I'm sure. Of course, it's Yankees-Mets, so they're definitely going to want to make these games up. Because what else is new? I mean, the way these things go with these teams that actually start testing positive, it's always going to be more. I'd be very surprised if it's just the one player and one staffer. You'll see tomorrow when more positive tests come in, I'm sure. It's just more shit. So I don't know if this is good for the Yankees because maybe they need a couple days to clear their mind. And then come back ready to go with a hunger and finally start showing fucking the dominance that we know they're capable of showing. Or is it going to be more time to dwell on the injuries, what didn't go right, and maybe could be the beginning of a spiral here? Who the hell knows? I almost felt like they needed to get right back into it because the way the Mets are, they're basically Boston of the fucking NL East, which is pretty funny. So I don't know. I don't know what the fuck. Also, throw this back in there. You know, I saw Twitter had been taken over the other day. It's basically Padres Twitter because of Fernando Tatis. You all know the story. Up 10-3 in the eighth inning. Bases loaded. Fucking 3-0 count, and Tatis swings and hits a grand slam. Machado comes in next. Gets fucking thrown at. Nothing happens. Pitcher ends up getting suspended. The manager ends up getting suspended. Turns out everybody felt like he broke one of them unwritten rules. You know, I get some of the unwritten rules. I think that it's okay to have a code to live by in this game that isn't written. If you were brought up playing this game, there's things that you just learn and you know. This ain't one of them. All right. If you want to get mad, the only thing you can get mad about is the fact that he didn't listen to his manager. And that's it. That's really it. And that's barely anything at all to get mad about. All right. The kid hit a grand slam. I'm fucking ecstatic if I'm his manager. What I didn't like at all, and I said this when I was on the Sports Dudes the other day, and if you didn't catch that, definitely listen to it. It was an excellent, fun time interview. But we were talking about this. I'm mad that the manager didn't back his player. He came out and said, well, I told him not to swing, and he didn't listen. Why even mention that? All right? Hosmer's like, we'll talk to him, we'll talk to him, and he's on the bench talking to him. And you can see the look in this kid's eye, like, really? I hit a grand slam, but I'm being made to feel bad about it. Get the fuck out of here. Batters get paid based on performance. I know strikeouts don't mean much anymore, but you know what? Home runs and RBI still matter. They matter. They count. The more you accrue, the more money you make. This kid's a superstar. And baseball is out there with the fucking commercials and their bumper sticker slogans and shit saying, let the kids play. Okay, let the kids play. Because if bat flips and basically, you know, pimping and everything else is just all fun and good and shit, and everything should be fair game, well, then you better send a memo out to the fucking pitchers. You better send memos out to the managers and say, listen, this is how we're going to market the game to the kids who don't want to play baseball, who don't watch baseball because it isn't fun. But if they start watching players like Tatis and Glaber and other young players like that and Judge and Trout, well, maybe not so much Trout, the guy's a robot, but other players who just show a little bit of emotion. And I used to hate bat flips. I'm starting to come around to it. I was that okay boomer guy when it came to that shit because I was always one of those people who grew up saying, if you do a bat flip, you're showing up the pitcher. And if you're showing up the pitcher, somebody's going to get hit. Which still happens today. Because pitchers have egos. And if you're swinging 3-0 and you're hitting a grand slam on them, well, to them, you just broke one of the rules. It's not that I grooved one in there for you as an automatic strike. You know, 3-1 is a lot better to hit than 3-0, apparently. It's just, either you let them have fun, or you keep the game the way it used to be. There's not a middle ground here, because people are going to get hurt because of it. If it's let the kids have fun, then you get to see pimp walks, like what Hick does, or when, you know, these guys hit home runs, and they pose and shit, like fucking Batista did a few years ago. Even though he got his ass kicked for it. But that's the kind of shit they want. Then it's okay. Then pitchers get to show emotion when they strike people out. They can talk shit too. As long as there's no fights. Because that's really the only thing they don't want. That's not going to promote the game. But it's either or. Kid did nothing wrong. He did nothing wrong. The whole world is in agreement on this. He's out there apologizing for it. They should apologize to him for having put him in that position to make him feel bad. They were up by 7 runs. There's teams that can score 7 runs in an inning, much less with two more innings to go to tie the game up or possibly take the lead. If you have the chance to stomp a team out, you do it. That goes for any sport. That's my fucking take on it. Let's get to the Savage polls. I did 2 of them because I'm seeing a lot of Boone hate lately. And it got me thinking. First one I wrote, because of we've seen a lot of bad moves, which maybe, I mean, Cole didn't want to be taken out, but I'm not saying that was the wrong move. I think that was absolutely the right move. He had thrown, I believe, 109 pitches at that point. Let's go. You can't risk injuries with him. He's the guy. But he's made other bad moves lately. And so I wrote, who is to blame for the head scratching moves of late? Is it Boone? Is the analytic nerds, or both? 80% said Aaron Boone. 20% said both. Now, I did get a comment from my buddy Tiana. And you should follow her because she's excellent. And she made a hell of a lot of sense here. Good point. Boone is having a really hard time handling the bullpen this season. I don't know if Larry helped with these decisions last year, but this year is worse. New pitching coach is all nerd, so I guess it can be a combination. We just need it to be better. To which I replied, excellent point. Larry was a former manager, and maybe Boone leaned on him more than we thought. She wrote, in general, Larry is very highly thought of, so I wouldn't doubt that he was involved in some key decisions. This new guy has never been a coach. He is more focused on numbers. She nailed it. She's absolutely right. We all like to shit on Larry. And he was not a very good pitching coach. Just look at Sonny Gray. He was very frustrating. But he was Boone's right-hand man. And having been a former manager, because he was a manager with Tampa, remember that, I think he may have been their first manager, if I'm right. So he has managing experience. Not very good ones, but he knows what it takes. Boone had never been a manager, was leaning on him. Maybe Larry made a lot more fucking decisions than we thought. Maybe he had more input into what Boone was thinking than we thought. And I thought 95% of everything came from the fucking nerds. They spit out the numbers. They make the lineup. This is how it goes. Pitcher is only effective for 2 times through the lineup. Never get a guy to a third time. You know, there's no gut feelings anymore. The numbers don't allow for gut feelings. They don't allow for hot and cold. They don't allow for the human condition. It's numbers. Everything is numbers. And that, you know, this is when you got to rest. And this shit. And blah, blah, blah. And all that other garbage. And listen, it is what it is. If it helps you win, I'm all for it. But there has to be a little bit of give and take. Now, Boone this year is a man on an island. Matt Blake is only going to tell him what the numbers say. He doesn't have a feel for his guys yet. He's never coached. Boone has to have a feel. And if he's going by feel, he's been getting it wrong a lot lately. And I see a lot of comments out there saying he's got to be better. He's not going to survive. He's going to be fired if they don't win this year. Blah, 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 blah. He's not going anywhere because he doesn't threaten Cashman like Girardi did. And not like threaten. I mean like stand up to him. He doesn't have any problems with the players. The players love him. If the team doesn't, if the team still listens to him and he handles them great, he's not going anywhere. Ultimately, the team has to perform and stay fucking healthy. Imagine that. 3 years of this shit already. But, you know, going back and forth, reading more comments on Twitter, everybody, you know, a lot of people are like, get rid of him. I never liked him. You know, the usual emotional response bullshit. As some asshole shoots off fireworks in the background. Fucking Christ. It's August 20th. Anyway, sorry about that. Which got me thinking, reading more Boone hate, I decided to post another poll. Can Boone bring this team to a title? A lot closer than I thought it would be. 47.7% said yes. 40.9% said no. 11.4% said the team will drag him to one. Meaning the team is good enough, he can be a fucking co-pilot and just sit back and relax, and they'll win despite him, basically, is what I'm saying. I like Boone personally. I think he's a good manager. I think he understands the game. But he's a spokesman. That's what they hired him for. The nerds run the team. He has input, I'm sure. But ultimately, if you go against the nerds, you better be right. Because if you're not right, and we've heard this from Kay and other stories around the league, they will take you to the carpet. You will have to explain yourself to why you didn't follow the book. So some of the comments on the poll. Sarah Gibbs. I still think he can. Whether or not it will be before they can figure out their pitching and hitting in with runners in scoring position is yet to be determined, which is true. It really comes down to the offense. The pitching is going to be what it is. Greg C. writes, yes, he can. The offense has fallen apart with injuries. Just because it's a 60-game season doesn't mean stretches of five L's in a row or 4-11 stretch doesn't still happen. Yankees are still the most complete team in the AL. He will turn around. I tend to agree, except you can't really be complete when you're just ravaged by injuries. If the healthy, yes, definitely. They may have the most depth, but that doesn't mean a lot when you're losing guys in every series. And these guys are minimum of 10 days. So it's not like they can bounce back tomorrow. Robert Pufundi, sorry if I butchered that. The best question is, can Cashman get back to winning ways? If memory serves, Cash rode the wave of the core four, which he didn't form, which is true. Watson built that team up with Stick. Cashman came later. He was assistant. I have faith in Cash. I think he's done more good for the franchise. He obviously won one in 09. Even though it was a veteran staff and that was the end of the core four. But he put the pieces around those guys too. So he's built a championship team with this team. This current roster is a championship caliber team. He got the ace. He's got players that he has brought on in case of injury. So he's prepared for that. He can't go out there and hit the goddamn ball, and he can't throw the goddamn ball for them. Players have to perform better. The analytics are all about the home runs, apparently. These other teams are winning by hitting base hits, doubles, with runners in scoring position. You have to get the runners in. If they're on base and they're in scoring position, you got to get them in. That is the only way this team is going to win. You can't get by on a home run, a two-run home run, every game, especially in the playoffs. They're not going to come. Do I believe Boone deserves the hate that he's getting? No. Do I believe that he should be fired at the end of the year, regardless of what happens? No. I think maybe another year. I believe he has a 4-year deal. So this is his third year now. So next year he's a lame duck anyway. I believe they'll let him play out his contract. He has to win. He can't just keep getting bounced in the playoffs. They went total analytics this offseason. They fired their training staff. They got performance guys in there now that, you know, it's medical science. And yet the injuries are still happening. Fuck is going on? Maybe it wasn't as bad as last year's medical staff was. The Donahues. Guys who've been doing this for years that knew everything. Nope. Now we got medical science. And more soft tissue injuries than we ever knew. At some point it gets better, right? I mean, I'm not crazy, right? It's not going to be like this every game where we're like waiting for the other shoe to drop when they're playing good, they're starting to get healthy, and then boom, somebody's going to go down again. Is this how it's going to be? Because if it is, cancel the fucking season already, because it's not going to be worth it. At some point, this team just needs to get off on a hot streak and start beating up on some fucking teams other than Boston. Hopefully that was going to start with the Mets, but we'll see what happens with COVID. All right, I'm done ranting. I'm going to say this. I have one more thing, and then we'll call it an episode. Tom Brenneman. This blew up last night. Apparently, idiots on the fucking broadcast don't ever really seem to think that you shouldn't say shit when you have a microphone to your mouth. See, you can say shit on a podcast because you can edit that shit out. But when you're on live TV and you say what you said, and I'm not going to repeat it, and having some gay people in my family, friends of mine that are gay, I'm a little offended. Obviously, he knew he fucked up. And if he didn't know, certainly somebody fucking told him in his ear, oh shit, bud, hey, that went out over the air. And what does this asshole do? He decides, well, obviously I got to apologize. And he possibly gives the worst apology I think I've ever heard in a situation like this. Because in the middle of his bullshit apology, he decides to call a home run by Castellanos. What are you doing, dude? Are you sorry? Or are you not? Or are you just sorry you got caught? My guess is that you're sorry you got caught. Fucking idiot decides that, and he does this, and like so many other idiots before him, a man of faith. What the fuck does that mean? because you're a quote unquote Christian, that makes you somehow better than anybody else? Because it seems to me that most of the time when shit like this happens, it's always the guy who says he's a quote unquote a man of faith, usually of the Christian persuasion. And I'm not going off on Christians or any other religion for that matter. I'm just saying it's fake fuckers like that that think that somehow they can say I'm a man of faith and that's supposed to be like, oh, okay, well then he's a good man deep down inside. Guess what? Every religion has scumbags. Every religion has scumbags. Saying that you're a person of faith should be insulting to the good people who fucking are religious and live their life as a good person. That should be offensive to them too. Not just the gay people out there. For what he had said in the first place. Obviously. And then he finishes his bullshit apology by saying, you know, I'm a good man and people who know me know that about blah, 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 blah. Whatever. Shut the fuck up. You're obviously not a good person. You got hate in your heart. So he acknowledges the fact that most likely his career is over. He knows it. We all know it. Fox already has pulled him from football games. Obviously, he won't be doing any more baseball games for Fox, and I'm sure the Reds are going to fire him too. Now, if Marge Schott was still alive, he'd probably get a raise. But that's neither here nor there. You can't say stupid shit like that. If you believe what you believe, and you're homophobic or you're racist, keep that shit to yourself. Nobody wants to hear it. With everything going on in this world right now, and this is my political rant, everybody's trying to find a common ground for positive change. Protesting. Basically, everybody just wants to be treated as equals. It's the long and short of it, folks. And then there's idiots like this guy who just doesn't get it. Well, you're going to get it now, aren't you? Because you're going to have plenty of fucking time to sit at home and think about if you had a little bit more tolerance in your heart, you'd still be employed. You'd still be doing the job you love. But because you said what you said, it's over. And guess what? This is all anybody's ever going to remember now of you. It's a hell of a legacy. Something that I'm sure you're proud of. Something that your kids are going to be proud of as they grow up. Just think about that. And I'll leave it there. Folks, be better. Take tomorrow off. Recoup. Listen to my podcast. Listen to all the other Yankee podcasts. Get the frustrations out. Hopefully the injury news will be good. Hopefully if the Yankees do play on Saturday, Judge will be activated. If not, we'll see him in the next series whenever the hell they resume playing, most likely. If you're a praying person, pray for Pax's elbow, forearm. If not, send positive thoughts anyway. I'll end this on a positive note. We'll get through this. We'll get through this season. We'll get through this pandemic. We'll get through everything that's going on in this world. We'll get through it all because we're all together on this. All right? So be good to yourselves. Be good to everybody else. I'll see you next time. And of course, go Yankees.